We're going over to the UK now to speak to Fergal Sharkey. He's most widely known as the lead vocalist of pop punk band The Undertones in the 70s and 80s. His 1985 solo single, A Good Heart, was an international success. He's now the frontman of Salute Music Makers. They're providing an alternative platform for original songwriters to showcase their music. Having opened up their doors for aspiring music makers to upload their songs to the platform on the 27th of April, the listening and reviewing process begins in June, when respected curators and industry veterans will aim to narrow down the talent pool. Exciting stuff. Good morning, Fergal.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. And yourself?
Very, very well. I'm pleased to say the sun is shining in North London.
Oh, fabulous. That's what we like to hear. It's great to have you with us on Talk Radio Europe. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for your time.
Before we talk about this Salute Music Makers, because I need to hear all about that, I have to ask you about your beginnings and the Undertones and, of course, John Peel, who was instrumental to your success in the early days.
Indeed, he was. Like in an awful lot of other young people, I grew up in a small town in Northern Ireland called Derry. Got together with four friends, and we decided to be in a band. There was only a couple of small obstacles to overcome. None of us could play anything, and we had no instruments anyway in the first place. So, like a lot of young people, sitting around idle talk, having this kind of idea and little notion or little indication that what was to subsequently follow. Clearly, we made a little record called Teenage Kicks, and that's where John Peel came in as, well, at the time, to be honest, our knowledge of the music industry was minimal. In fact, it was zero. So our cunning, devious marketing, communications, promotion strategy was to send one copy to a man called John Peel, and that moment changed everyone's lives.
Wow. And he paid for a recording session, didn't he?
Well, we didn't find out about this for many, many years. As people probably know, John would frequently have acts that he liked come and do a session where traditionally you would go to the BBC recording studios, record four tracks, which John would then play during the programme. Clearly, we lived in Northern Ireland. We had absolutely no means of getting to London, and not sure even at that point had ever been. And John arranged for us to go to a recording studio in Belfast, attached to Downtown Radio, which was the big commercial radio station in Belfast. And we did not find out until many, many years later that John actually paid for that recording time himself.
Wow.
Which was an extraordinary thing for someone like John to do.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people know, it's quite well known and well reported, that right up until his sad death in 2004, Teenage Kicks was his favourite song.
Well, it's something that John had kind of mentioned a number of times, that he wanted that as his epitaph. And it was always, personally, I took it as one of those casual bits of banter between friends. But as it transpires, if you go and stand at John's grave, you will see inscribed on his tombstone are the words, "A teenage dream's hard to beat."
Wow, that must be amazing for you.
It's an incredible thing to think back to that time when five of us were in one of the O'Neill brothers' bedroom practicing, trying to figure out what we were doing, how to play, how to be a band, and that something you did all those years ago still resonates and has such significance. It's a incredibly humbling and flattering experience.
Yes. Well, you did figure out how to be a band. You had great success with the Undertones. Do you look back at those times with fond memories?
Of course you do. How could you possibly not? It's the greatest thing in the world, being in the music industry. And I would highly recommend it to anybody. It's an extraordinary way to be allowed to make a living and to do something like that and apparently call it a job, where I've always had extraordinary admiration for people that do proper jobs and do get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work in factories and do a shift for 12 hours. Those people have my applause.
Yes.
I got to do something I loved for all of my adult life. How lucky was that?
Yeah, fantastic. And A Good Heart, of course, was your big number one solo hit in 1985. Couldn't be more different to Teenage Kicks if it tried.
Well, that was kind of possibly the point. As in, did that, finished that bit of my life, closed that chapter in that book, and time to move on and do something, as Monty Python would have said, now for something totally different instead.
Yes, exactly. So would you say A Good Heart is more you, then?
Listen, all of it is like anybody being creative. It's all you.
Yeah.
It is invariably what comes out of you at that moment in time. And I think why artists in general, songwriters, musicians, journalists, painters, poets, playwrights, why things change is they change as people.
Mm.
And you just have to be relaxed with it and comfortable with it and confident with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say you were in a totally different place in your life when you did A Good Heart compared to Teenage Kicks, for example?
It would have been impossible not to be.
Mm.
When we recorded Teenage Kicks, we were still a little group of young men, still living in Northern Ireland, still living in our hometown. And by the time Good Heart was recorded, my life had changed dramatically. I was a different person, living in a different world, living in London. A Good Heart was partially recorded in London, partially recorded in Los Angeles. And whether you want to or not, those things influence you.
Yeah. And since then, or since the early 90s, you've spent a lot of time working in the UK music industry, winning several awards and honours for your work, helping other people get into the music industry.
Indeed. Well, it's one of those remarkable things that I think it's only a reasonable thing that you try and give something back.
Mm.
I was being very serious when I said that I'm incredibly grateful for the life I've got to live. And it still is one of the extraordinarily joyous things about being involved in the music industry is watching the next generation of young, aspiring, brilliantly talented British songwriters, musicians and artists and being allowed to stand anywhere close to them. So for me personally, it's just doing any small thing I possibly can to ensure that that next generation gets the same kind of opportunity and the same kind of support that I did.
Mm. And before you had your big break in the 70s, it was hard for you guys to get noticed, to get heard, to get into the industry. Do you think it's harder now?
I think it actually is.
Yeah.
It's a curious thing where technology, I think, is absolutely brilliant. And let's face it, you can walk into any music shop right now, in fact, buy a laptop, and frequently these days they come with any amount of music-making software built into them. So it's actually quite easy now, and it's a lot more accessible to be creative and to make music. But actually then trying to get someone to listen to it, I think has actually probably got an awful lot harder.
Yeah.
By way of example, according to YouTube, people upload 300 hours of video every single minute of every single day.
Gosh, that's unbelievable.
Apple currently have over 40 million songs available on iTunes, and someone like Spotify claim that they upload 20,000 new songs every single day onto their system. So what are you going to do to get your music heard? And don't forget, you're in competition with that little video of that water skiing dog and the kitten playing with a ball of string.
It's
so
tough competition.
It's created enormous potential opportunity for artists and musicians, but it's actually made it an awful lot harder simply to get noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you guys at Salute doing to help people then?
Well, they're trying to ponder with that problem, and ultimately the answer we think we've come up with boiled down to a very simple conundrum and one that impacts on most of your life: money.
Mm.
So what we thought we would do is try and find a way to give as much support as we could to the next generation of young, aspiring British songwriters and artists, musicians and performers. And the short version is the winner of this competition will receive £50,000 in cash, no strings attached, no commitment whatsoever. Hopefully it'll give them the power to go and control their own career, to dictate their own career the way they want to. That's clearly enough money to go and set up your own record company, record your own album, hire a professional press, communications, promotional people, and do things properly.
Mm, great stuff. What a brilliant opportunity. And how is this the first time you've done this? Is this a new project?
It is. It was approached earlier on this year by a couple of young men who had come up with the original idea, asked if I would help them out and get involved, and remembering my own example of a man called Terry Hooley in Belfast putting up £100 to pay for 8 hours recording time in the studio where a little band called The Undertones made a record called Teenage Kicks. And hopefully it'll just be the modern incarnation of that.
Yes, absolutely. So can people still enter?
Yes, the entry is still open until the end of June. Right now, just go to the Salute Music Makers website. You'll be able to download an application available for all platforms on mobile phones and everything else, and use that to upload your song onto the system, and you'll be able to do that until the end of June, at which point we will begin filtering down to a shortlist of 100 entries.
Wow.
During the summer, people will then be able to vote on those 100, and the top six will go through to the final, and each of those top six finalists will receive £10,000 each, with the overall winner getting an additional 40 on top of the original 10,000, bringing the winning total up to £50,000 for the winner.
Fantastic. Well, the website is salutemusic.uk, and the songs that people are uploading, you're looking for something original, presumably.
Oh, yes. It's for people that aren't already signed to record companies, that are at the beginning of their career, and we are trying to identify the next generation of quite remarkable, brilliant, world-dominating British talent.
And I'm guessing it's difficult to put into words, but can you possibly explain what you're looking for and what makes a good song?
It's one of those remarkable things that you know it when you see it. And it's like judging these kind of things is exactly the same as listening to the radio and hearing a new song for the first time.
Mm.
Certainly there is a certain amount of knowledge and experience that can be applied to it. But ultimately, it is something, an innate gift that you've been given. And it's trying to identify that person with a real spark that manages to look at the world in a slightly different way and tell a really good story.
Yes, absolutely. And when you're listening to a song, there are so many components that can come into it. You've got to like the voice, you've got to like the musicality, you've got to like the lyrics. It's a big task, isn't it?
Well, it's one of the kind of interesting things about working in record companies for many years. In many ways, frequently you have to see beyond all of that and see back to the original song itself, which is obviously just the melody and the lyric.
Mm.
That is the foundation that everything else is sat upon. Yeah, the playing, the recording, the production, you can fix all of that. But if the song itself is not concrete and solid and brilliant, then it doesn't matter how much you polish it and how much you shine it up, it's still just not going to be a great song.
Mm.
So what we're looking for is that great song.
Yes. And it's interesting when you hear a new voice for the first time as well, when it sort of takes you back and you think, gosh, they've got an amazing voice. Because so many voices can sound the same these days, can't they?
Well, listen, they always could. And again, it's part of being original and being yourself. And I understand the pressure a lot of young people feel that they're under, that they think by mimicking Amy Winehouse or Adele or anybody else for that matter, that too is going to make them famous.
Mm.
And what they overlook is that Amy Winehouse became famous for being Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
And just an incredibly gifted young woman. Adele became Adele because she was an incredibly gifted young woman.
Yeah.
So it's that classic thing of having the confidence in yourself simply to be yourself and stop worrying about everyone else.
Mm. Great advice from Fergal Sharkey. Thank you so much for joining us today. And just to just to give out that website again, salutemusic.uk, and people can download the app, as you said, and the competition details and everything's on the website. And they've got till the end of June to enter their original song. Fergal Sharkey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for your time, and good luck to everybody in Spain today. I hope you enjoyed the day.